Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
When you're trapped in sinful, stubborn habits, you're pretty much out of life's race. And it's the enemy of our souls who wants to keep it that way. Satan has a plan for your life, and it's not a wonderful one. Today, we'll begin to understand spiritual warfare and why none of us is exempt from the battle. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series entitled, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Pastor Lutzer is focusing on breaking the chains of bondage.
Now, I want you to notice in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and it's on page 913, if you have the approved version. I want you to notice several observations that I think are important for you in overcoming that sinful habit, and especially in that area of struggle where there is satanic conflict involved. First of all, accept the fact, this is very crucial, accept the fact that you will be tempted. Accept it. Notice this, it says in verse 1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was the Spirit of God that brought Jesus to the place of temptation. Expect temptation and accept it and know that you're going to encounter it. There are so many Christians who think that the way of victory is to believe that they will no longer be tempted. That isn't the way of victory. You will always be tempted in some area or another. The way of victory is not to believe that you will no longer be tempted. The way of victory is to be able to handle temptation the very moment it comes to you. But you'll always be tempted. Woe to the person who thinks that they will come to the place where they will no longer be tempted. Now, it is true that there are certain sins that perhaps you will no longer have any effect on you and you will not be tempted by them. That I realize. Oftentimes, Satan gives up after you have broken that sinful habit. He will give up in certain areas because you have learned to deal with temptation, you've learned how to encounter it, and so he gives up in the struggle, and you may not be tempted as strongly in that area. As a matter of fact, something that may be a temptation to you now in 5 years' time may not be a temptation at all. But soon, Satan will have other ways to get you off course. And no one ever gets to the point in their life where they can say, at last I know I will not commit certain sins. Some of the greatest and most godly people have fallen into sexual immorality. Even though they had a close walk with God, they never got to the point where they were no longer tempted and didn't know how to handle that temptation, because nobody can say, at last I'm free. Forever. You may be free. I hope you are. But the Bible says that Satan, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Never say to yourself, I will no longer be tempted. Do you know that you should accept the fact that you will be tempted? That doesn't mean that you ought to go running around looking for temptation, by the way. You know, there are some people who say, well, if God brings me to the place of temptation, then why don't I cooperate with him and get myself into a whole lot of temptation? No, the Bible says that we should flee. Because you see, when we realize that we are weak in a certain area, it is also part of God's program for us to learn that and to turn away from the very suggestions or the very area in which we may be tempted, the geographical area even. So we can't say that, but the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And it says, God doesn't tempt anyone above that they are able, but will with the way of temptation make a way of escape, that they might be able to bear it. Now, if you continue in that sinful habit, I can say one of two things. Either you got yourself into it, or I can also tell you that you did not have to yield to it. You did not have to yield to it. Because the Bible says that God will not put you in a test that is too great. His grace knows how much you can take. And if you are in a sinful habit that is too much for you, it is because you yourself steered your way into that situation. Or else, you can say, I don't have to commit that sin. And I might say, just to clarify, that even if you brought yourself into that situation tonight, you can decide to get out of it. Because nobody has to perpetually live in defeat, because the provision has been made for victory. But I want you to realize that it is important for you to accept temptation and even thank God for it as a choice and an opportunity to choose for Him. I was talking to someone who was involved in deep sin. Deep sin. It was an incredible situation. And this person said, I couldn't extricate myself from it until I realized that even if I were tempted from now until the day I would die, I would thank God for that temptation. And I would thank God that I had the opportunity to choose for Him. And eventually that person broke that sinful habit through the help of the Holy Spirit. So don't think that spirituality, that you're going to reach a certain plateau where you will never be tempted. No, you'll be tempted. But spirituality is the ability to know how to handle it. Second observation is this. We are tempted in a moment of weakness. We are tempted in a moment of weakness. Watch those moments of weakness. Notice it says that when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. When did He tempt Jesus? When Jesus was desperately hungry, Satan tempted Him in an area where Jesus was going to be weak, because it was there that Satan thought he could win his victory. Now, I don't know what your area of weakness is. But oftentimes, Satan comes to us just in a time when we are in emotional stress. You know, have you ever found people who perhaps lose their temper and they say, well, just everything went wrong. The kids were bad. The roast is burned. And so they blow up and they begin to blame their circumstances and begin to say, well, it was because of these things that I blew up. Actually, you can never blame your circumstances. Did you know that? Because your circumstances are neutral. It is you that has lost his temper. It is you that has to bear the responsibility for that. And it is at those moments of weakness, however, that Satan likes to exploit us and likes to tempt us. And a moment of weakness is when you are very, very frustrated. Many of you say, well, I have my moments of weakness then all the time. Well, maybe you do, but those are the moments to watch. And the moment to watch is not only when you are frustrated, but also when you have just been victorious. Those are the moments. You remember the children of Israel at Ai? They had just conquered Jericho. The city had just fallen down. And then they said, well, that is, they had conquered Jericho. And they said, let's go and capture Ai. And they did not receive counsel from the Lord, but they sent an army up there, and the army was soundly defeated, and 18 men were killed. Why? Because of the self-confidence that the victory at Jericho generated. Oh, if you have won a great spiritual victory, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation, because it is at that moment that you are most vulnerable. A fourth observation, and that is this, that every temptation must be dealt with immediately. Every temptation must be dealt with immediately. And if you're taking notes, this is the one that should be underlined in red. Notice that Jesus, as soon as Satan presented this to him, Jesus did not stop to consider it. He didn't necessarily stop to debate it. But he simply said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want to talk to you very plainly tonight, because one of the problems that we have in our society is sensuality and sensual temptation. And I want to stress in the strongest possible words that you must deal with those thoughts that come into your mind at the very moment that they enter. That's the time to deal with those thoughts and to say, I reject those thoughts in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the time. Do not say to yourself, well, I will enjoy these immoral thoughts for a while, and then afterwards I'll back out of them. If you say that, I'll tell you what will happen. You can reject the thoughts, but the desires of your body continue. And because the desires of the body continue, consequently, those thoughts will reappear and reappear and reappear because you have set in motion certain desires which cannot be rejected like that. Thoughts can be. Desires take longer. And I want to give you a little bit of practical advice here. If you reject those thoughts immediately in the name of the Lord Jesus, if the desires have already been set in motion, which is to say that you have sinned, the thing to do immediately is to confess your sin. Immediately. Don't wait until you get home at night. Don't wait until you have a more convenient season. Whether you're riding on a bus or whether you're walking down a street, no matter where you are, instantly confess your sin. Here's why. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Did you know that if you confess your sins immediately, God will actually cleanse the desires of your body so that your thought life will be able to get back on the right course? Because you see, God not only can deal with the mind, He can actually deal with a cleansing process of the soul. And that's why it is so desperately important to deal with temptation immediately. Immediately.
And you know, my friend, if we don't deal with it immediately, I can tell you this, that the farther you go along the direction of the temptation, the more difficult it will be to reverse course. Or to put it even more clearly, every mile you go out of the will of God, well, there is a mile to come back home. So let us deal with sin immediately. And this is one of the last days we're making available for you a resource. I've written a book entitled, How to Break a Stubborn Habit. I wrote this book to help us to understand that God has given us many resources so that we might be able to walk in the Spirit, but at the same time, this does not happen automatically. It's not a matter of waking up in the morning and somehow by osmosis suddenly becoming spiritual. There is a battle, but it's a winnable battle. Remember the title of the book, How to Break a Stubborn Habit. And thank you in advance for your help.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer brought part two of Breaking the Chains of Bondage, the last of four messages in a series on how to say no to a stubborn habit, a series designed to set you free from that which binds you. Next time, this message and this series will conclude. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. All of us have bad habits, and these can be tough to overcome. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.